Well, good morning, everyone. Hope we're doing well. Congratulations to all the Lions supporters. I've loved the Brisbane Lions my whole life. Ooh, yeah. And good luck to all the Broncos supporters who are going for the women's competition, seeing the men's have been knocked out. That's just me. So I'm just wishing myself luck for this afternoon. What a glorious day. A glorious spring day after some well-needed rain this week, and hopefully a little bit more rain to come as well, just to get that grass looking nice and green again and the flowers growing. But what a glorious day. Few announcements to share this morning with you. So obviously there's a lot of people away on school holidays or away with family or taking some time away. So we think of everyone who's away at the moment. I'd imagine that the next few weeks might be a little bit quieter with people away. So we think, yeah, and pray for those people that are all away. If you could please pray for the youth from around New South Wales. They're going to the state youth camp this week. That starts tomorrow and goes through till Friday. There's 310 young people going to that camp and leaders on top of that, I think. So 310, which is the biggest camp they've had in a very long time, maybe ever. So you can imagine the stress that 310 young people might be causing the leaders and those running the camp. So pray for the leaders and pray for the kids. From what we understand, out of that 310, a large portion of them don't regularly attend church either. So we're really praying that this would be a God moment and that there'd be wonderful transformation and lifetime commitments made at the camp. So they're meeting up at Collaroy up in Sydney. So please think of all those that are going and as well for all those that have to travel as well, that God would keep them safe in as they travel. I also want to give a heads up for some stuff that's happening in October, some meetings in October. So not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, October the 13th. There'll be a lot of people away on October the 13th, ourselves included. We're going down to Melbourne to conduct a wedding. Bill and Gillian are going to Newcastle to conduct a wedding that weekend as well. So October the 13th, we'll be watching Bathurst. Yes, that's the other reason a lot of people be away. They'll be watching the cars. But we'll be watching Eyes High, so a divisional meeting that's been put together. So October 13th will be Eyes High. And then the following week, October the 20th, and we'll try and send lots of reminders there about October the 20th. October the 20th, we'll be meeting at Belconnen. So there'll be no service here on October the 20th. October the 20th will be at Belconnen. The reason for that is that a church, One House, that use our building, they've asked if they can, they run a conference that weekend. And so they're going to use it all day Saturday, and rather than having to pack everything up and put everything away, they're going to come back at 2 o'clock on the Sunday. But rather than them having to pack everything up and put away all their stuff, we've offered to go to Belconnen that Sunday. We're going to go join with them at Belconnen. So October the 20th at Belconnen, we'll send plenty of reminders out about that in the lead up as well. So we're continuing looking at this idea of hearing from God and the power of a whisper from God. And if we were to study the major religions of the world, you would discover that most of them rely on an impersonal dynamic with their deity. Biblical Christianity is a far cry from all those other systems. From Genesis to Revelation, the constant refrain of Scripture declares that our faith is relational. God listens when we speak through prayer, and we are to listen when He speaks through His voice. It's a pattern of Scripture. If there is a pattern in Scripture regarding whispers, it is that we serve a communicating God, a God of His words. He created the Word. He healed with a word. He encouraged with a word. He rebuked with a word. He guided with a word. He prophesied with a word. He reassures us with a word. He loves us with a word. He served with a word. And He confronted the world with a word. All throughout history, God has communicated. And He's still communicating today. The issue isn't whether or not God is speaking. It's whether or not we have ears to hear what He says. Lord, You have been faithful to each one of us personally, individually, in so many different ways. Lord, we know that You are faithful to keep Your promises. Lord, and one of the promises You've made to us is that You will speak to us. Lord, and we love it when we hear Your voice. We love it when Your voice guides us. But Lord, sometimes we know that we're not good at listening. Lord, this morning we've sung, open our eyes, but Lord, open our ears as well so we can hear from You. Lord, we pray that You would keep those that are away on holiday safe. Lord, that You would grant travelling mercies, Lord. Lord, we pray for the youth as they head off to camp. Lord, would You bless them abundantly? Would You speak to them clearly and change their lives? Lord, we pray for the leaders at camp. Would You give them heavenly energy? Lord, we pray for our community. Lord, and we pray that we would see revival. Lord, that Your Spirit would sweep through this town, this community, this land in a powerful way. And that we would see a revival like we've never seen before. Holy Spirit, come, we pray. These things we ask in Your name. Amen. Please take a seat. Well, this morning our Bible reading comes through pretty much from Genesis through to almost Revelation, almost. So buckle in. We're going to be here for a while. If you've got the Bible app on your phone, one of the great things about the Bible, we won't need it, but just let me share about this. One of the great things about the Bible app is you can speed up the voice sound. So you can listen to it at normal speed, or if you're a little bit slower like myself, you can slow it down to half speed. Or if you're really keen, or if you're reading the Bible and you're reading books like Leviticus or Numbers and getting a little bit stuck, you can speed it up, I think, up to two or three times the speed. And go through all the names really quickly. And as you're doing that, you're just praying, God, reveal Yourself and let this sink in. But I'll be honest, when I've tried to get through Leviticus, I have had to speed it up a little bit. Yes, that's right. Our Bible reading today is from verses all throughout the Bible. And the way we're going to do it, I'm going to share a little bit of context, and then there'll be a verse that will come up for us to read together. Hilly, I'll read something, and then the verse will come up in there. Hopefully, if it all works, if I've done it all correctly. So you don't have to get far into the pages of Scripture to see evidence of God speaking. In the beginning, God communicated within the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when He decided to establish the physical world, it was a whisper. It was with a whisper that He got the job done. Soon afterwards, the people He created became the recipients of His whispers. The Old Testament is filled with God's voice. He spoke to Noah about the coming flood. He needed to build the ark and save his family. Abram heard God's words of promise and trusted. Moses heard the voice of God from a burning bush. It was God who told Moses to say what to say to the to Pharaoh. The nation of Israel heard the voice of God when Moses delivered the Ten Commandments. There was intimacy between God and Moses. Young Samuel, whose mother was in tune with God's whispers, certainly heard a word from the Lord. God had whispered specific directions to the shepherd turned King David. The prophet Israel testified to the presence of God's still small voice, and he responded to God's whisper with these now famous words. Sweeping into the New Testament, God spoke through an angel to an elderly priest and to his highly favored Mary. An angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. The angel announced God's message to the shepherds. We even hear God's message to his beloved son in Matthew 3. Let's not forget that God spoke during a storm, causing his ship to go down. The Apostle Paul heard encouraging words from the Lord, which he shared to the passengers and crew in Acts 27. And God continues to speak to us today. God speaks to us through the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, it says in John 15, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you. It is by these whispers that we are led towards a productive and fruitful life. By the still, small whisper of God's voice, our lives are flooded with personal assurance, correction, insight, guidance from above. By our Heavenly Father's wisdom, we are directed, aided, changed, and eventually we grow up. So as I said, we're looking at the Power of the Whisper, which is a book by Bill Hybels, and in that he talks about listening to and hearing the voice of God. And we've looked at this idea that sometimes God speaks loudly and sometimes God whispers. We've looked at the idea that God sometimes speaks directly and sometimes he speaks through nature or other things as well. We've also been reminded that sometimes God's words are words of reassurance. You know, we're doing a good job. Sometimes God's words are words of caution or correction, you know, correcting us when we're doing wrong. But we've also been reminded that God's words are also words of action, that he calls us to do something. So when he's, correcting us, he's calling us to turn away from what we're doing. When he's reassuring us, or he might be directing us to go out into the mission field. Today we're looking at this idea of putting into practice what we hear. So I'm wondering if you've ever played with a magic eight ball. A magic eight ball. Magic 8-Ball, it's been around since the 1950s. So they've been around for a little while. And I'm not surprised a lot of people haven't played with them, because back in the day, it used to align a lot with fortune tellers, you know. And this idea of a fortune-telling toy that would look very much like a billiard or a pool ball. You might shake it. And it might give you a yes, you might ask it a yes or no question. For example, you might say, should I have pizza for dinner? You shake it and it might say, signs point to yes, which is encouraging if you like pizza. And if you don't, well, that's just too bad. So you'd shake the ball and magically an answer would appear in the little triangle on the other side of the ball. Now, the game is still available today. It's very popular today. You can even download an app on your phone, so you don't even have to go and buy a physical ball. You can take this magic eight ball in your pocket if you like. And if you don't carrying a magic eight ball in your on your phone and you're sitting at a computer, you can Google it and it'll do the same thing as well. Now, the thing about a magic eight ball is sometimes it would give you a very definitive and clear answer. Like, it's certain, without a doubt, or don't do it. But other times, it would reveal something a little bit less clear, like maybe, or it appears hazy, or try again, or I better not tell you now, would be another response that you could get. So these magical balls claim to make everyday decisions a little bit easier. I don't know if you're one of those people that have trouble making decisions. If so, this is what the marketing people of this ball would tell you you should get. It was a little bit of fun. It was not really magical at all, and there was no spiritual power attached to it. And if you're not someone, it was also not something that any reasonable person would take very seriously. Any reasonable person wouldn't take the guidance of these magic eight balls with any sort of seriousness. But I wonder sometimes if we treat God like that. We go to Him like a heavenly eight ball, trying to get a simple, quick answer about what's going on in life. God has provided us with a lifetime of whispers, but still there's days when we fail to recognize His voice or discern the answers to the questions we've given Him. God is always speaking, but are we listening? We can give all kinds of reasons for not hearing from God. But at the end of the day, it's up to us to be prepared, open, and in tune with His voice. Sometimes hearing from God can be a clear answer, like a magic eight ball. And sometimes we need to focus and listen a little bit harder. So today I want to look at two practical ways we can hear from heaven. Neither way has anything to do with magic, chance, or a magic eight ball. According to Bill Hybels in his book, The Power of the Whisper, the number one way, the most predictable way to hear from heaven is to read and apply God's word. Now, this quote isn't groundbreaking news in Christian circles, but just because we know that we should apply and read God's word doesn't mean we put it into practice. God has written many of His whispers down for us to use. We have an easy-to-access book, the Bible, the best instructional book, the perfect tool, the ultimate guidebook. And yet, how many of us spend hours, weeks, even lifetimes trying to figure out how to connect with God without ever reading our Bibles on a regular, daily basis? How many of us learnt and memorized Scripture as a child? How many of us learn and memorize Scripture still today? I'm wondering, a bit of sharing perhaps, what was the first passage or scripture that you memorized? Who wants to share? You don't have to share the whole passage if it's a bit hazy. I know my memory is pretty bad. But who can remember perhaps even the reference to the first passage you memorized? For me, it was, I'm pretty sure it's Psalm 21 still. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and earth. Matthew's paraphrase. John 3:16, many of us learnt that off by heart as a child. The Ten Commandments. I remember in Sunday school having to learn the Ten Commandments, one after the other. The Lord's Prayer. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. 23rd Psalm's an interesting one. I'll sidetrack for a second. I use that psalm a lot at funerals, and I'll often write it down. And depending on what version of the Bible I use, I'll write it down and I'll start reading it. I'll have to pause because that's not the version I remembered. and I'll start saying the wrong version, and it doesn't quite flow properly with a more modern version. Well, I'm wondering how many of us have memorized Psalm 119. Psalm 119. It is the largest and longest psalm, 176 verses in total. It's a lot of verses to memorize. And the reason I ask how many of us have memorized Psalm 119, back in Jesus' day, this was the psalm that all the children were taught to memorize. This is a passage of scripture that every child was taught to learnt to memorize. Psalm 119. Well, that's right. Of all the scriptures available, they've got all the memorizing back in those days was a little bit different, a bit more easier perhaps, because not so many distractions. To do, but they've got all the stories of the Exodus and the creation and all of that, yet Psalm 119 was the go-to scripture to memorize. Of all the scripture available, there's a reason why this psalm was chosen. One of the verses towards the end, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." I think many of us probably memorized that verse by itself, maybe without realizing it. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's the whole of Psalm 119 in a nutshell. The entire psalm teaches the significance of God's word. It's foundational for learning the importance of God's word. That's why they taught it to the kids. As they read that psalm, they learnt what God's word was about. They learnt what scripture does for them and it does for us as well. They learnt how to walk in the light of God's word, the benefits of knowing what the Bible says, and the fruit that comes when we walk in its truth. The ancient parents were pretty smart. They recognized God's word was foundational and they wanted their children to know where to discover answers for life's questions. If you want to hear from God, it's pretty simple. Read your Bible. Spend time studying and memorizing verses. Learn about how God's people throughout history responded to life circumstances. Discover as much as you possibly can about who God is and what He wants for His children. Perhaps this week you might like to spend some time studying Psalm 119. In it, you'll discover God's word is like a bright flashlight, revealing potential dangers on the path ahead. It's like a huge search and rescue beam guiding us back to safety when we find ourselves drifting off the path. And it also functions as a permanent, reassuring nightlight, providing us security even through the darkest times. The Bible gives us full access to what God wants us to know about himself, his character, and the life he's calling us to live. But it's up to us to make use of what's available to us. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. I did it again. See, I knew that one as another one. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, we need to allow God's word to make its home within us. You see, Satan is real. He wants to trip us up. He wants to make us question. He wants to tempt us to follow him. But we have the power to keep him from getting a foothold in our life. When we allow God to speak directly into our lives through his word, we're more likely to discern his voice over Satan's surprises. We'll know how to respond to Satan's tricks because God's truth has already been planted deep within us. This is exactly what Jesus did in Matthew 4 when Satan tried to tempt him. Like a reflex, a knee-jerk reaction, a hiccup or a sneeze, it's possible to have God's word automatically come out of our heart and mind at times of trial and temptation so that we can be victorious in our response to the devil. So God speaks through his word, but he also speaks through others. And we touched on this already a few weeks ago. God speaks through others. In Proverbs 11:14, and this is from the Message paraphrase, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Last Sunday, we looked at the correction that Elijah needed to hear at a crisis point in his life. Expecting God to speak through others is a vitally important way to hear from heaven. But it also comes with some questions. You see, expecting God to speak through others is a vitally important way to hear from heaven. But I have some questions for you. Do you have anyone in your life that you can trust to speak God's truth into your heart? Do you have anyone in your life you can trust to speak God's truth into your heart? And if you do, are you willing to hear what they have to say? And on the flip side, are you someone who is willing to speak God's word into other people's lives? I'm not talking about simply giving advice or offering a personal opinion, but are you willing to be a vessel in which God will speak through you to others? Proverbs 11 speaks of the wise, God-given, God-directed counsel and support that only God-honoring, God-followers can offer. Christians need to have accountability partners, mentors in their lives, people who know God's word and follow God's direction, even when it means speaking unwanted, unrequested truths into another person's life. So It's a tough one sometimes to be that person. Well, we know that God can use any spiritually mature, obedient person to speak into their lives for a specific purpose, even a Holy Spirit-led stranger. But he often chooses someone to speak into our hearts through one or two closest, trusted friends, family members, who we've already got an open and honest and transparent relationship with. It sounds so basic and easy, but just as immersing ourselves in God's word takes discipline and determination, allowing God to speak through others and speak through you to someone else requires grace and discernment beyond what we're capable to do without the Holy Spirit's power. We see this in Scripture, and perhaps one of the best examples is with the story of David and Nathan. You might remember that story in 2 Samuel, sorry. It's a story of how King David got himself into a bit of a mess. He let his eyes wander, and he was lustfully watching a beautiful woman have a bath. And because he was king, he got exactly what he wanted, and that was that lady, Bathsheba, that he was eyeing off. And if that wasn't bad enough, things quickly got out of control. Bathsheba ended up pregnant, and in an effort to cover up what David had done, he arranged for her husband to be murdered on the battlefield so that he could take Bathsheba to be his wife. And the sad truth is, others in the palace knew exactly what David did and was doing all along, but none of them spoke up. So God planted an old friend, Nathan, in David's path, a man willing to risk his friendship and his life in order to confront, speak God's truth, and lead David to repentance. Like Nathan, are you willing to speak a bold word for the Lord? And like David, are you humble enough to hear a strong word from God's spokesperson? We need others, even when it comes to our own Christian walk. The time will come when we need help applying God's word to our lives. I'm not always grateful for when someone steps in with what might feel like unwanted criticism or observation. But when I look back over my life, I've known that I've greatly benefited from the divine whisper delivered by other people. And I understand how hard it was for them to confront me. And I'm thankful for their willingness to speak God's word. When God's message is delivered through the mouth of someone else, it can feel harsh and even judgmental. None of us like having our faults pointed out to us. But we can miss so much of what God has to say to us when we refuse to have a heart of understanding and trust. Instead of being defensive, it's possible to choose humility. Instead of blaming and deflecting, we can listen, reflect, take responsibility and repent in order to achieve the righteousness we crave. If we honestly want to live the kind of divinely directed life that only God can provide, then we need to train and tune our ears to hear the whispers coming through the Bible and through others. Again, from the Message in Proverbs chapter 2, it provides this fantastic mind picture of what it means to pursue God's voice. Good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you. Collect my counsel and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. If you make insight your priority and won't take no for an answer,
searching for it like a prospector panning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt. Believe me, you've come upon the knowledge of God. Hearing from God is a lifetime adventure. Will you commit your time and energy to seek the riches that can only be found in Scripture? Are you ready to accept instruction, guidance, and insight from God's people that He puts alongside you and in order to find the ultimate treasure God has in store for you? God has always spoken into His world to ordinary people like me and you, and I don't believe that He plans to stop. I'm sure that God is speaking even right now, but are we listening? In these moments of reflection, will you come to the source of reviving power and humble yourself at the foot of Jesus? God is speaking. Will you commit to do whatever you need to in order to hear from Him? There's this song that was written, I think it's probably, I think it might be a Salvation Army, only one that was written for the Salvation Army. And I really like the chorus of this song. It talks about hearing and listening to God in the verses, but the chorus says, "Here at the cross, at this sacred hour, here at the source of reviving power, helpless indeed, I come with my need. Lord, for thy service, fit me, I plead." Here at the cross, at this sacred hour, in this moment, in this time, we need to come to Jesus because He's the source of reviving power. Will you hear from Him this morning? Well, gracious God, we ask that You would clear our ears and clear our hearts so that we can hear from You clearly. Lord, help us to immerse ourselves in Scripture. And Lord, reveal Yourself to us as we spend time in Your Word. Lord, help us to hear from trusted friends as You speak through them. Lord, help us to have humble hearts when they speak to us. And Lord, if You've asked us to speak to someone else, give us the boldness we need to do that. This, Lord, we ask in Your name. Amen. A benediction to leave us with this morning from Galatians chapter 6. "Therefore, we have opportunity, so let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord."